Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on CASM Radio. I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. Your report brought to you by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service right off I-94 in Avon. Every Thursday at 12:30 during noontime news, we talk to State Representative Paul Anderson. Paul with an update this week, and he says things are really kicking in the gear as far as committees and other legislative activities.
Well, the meetings are really ramping up. All of the committees I serve on are in full swing right now. And ag, we're still hearing, kind of learning sessions for those that are new to the committee. We heard from the broadband folks yesterday, the organization called AURI, which helps value-added agriculture, and also from the Center for Rural Development, which is headquartered in Mankato, and had a pretty in-depth study on life in rural Minnesota. It really was surprising to me that they talked about suicide rates. As you get into a less populated area, the statistics show that at least thoughts of that type of thing and actual suicides increase, but brought on by a number of reasons, maybe less medical care, mental health care out in our areas, but some things to really think about. But, Joe, really interesting meeting I had. I sat in on a meeting yesterday. The Department of Ag has an annual meeting with the Rural Finance Authority, kind of their annual meeting, and they bring in an economist, and they give kind of an outlook of the national scene and also zero in on Minnesota. And a lot of bankers were at the meeting, and one of them mentioned that of all the people they work with setting up their cash flows and plans for this coming year, not one of the people they work with are able to show a profit in terms of those. I'm talking now about people at the farm corn and soybeans. It's going to be really tough and really tight to try to show any black ink at all in the crop farming, at least this coming year.
You know, everything is kind of cyclical, because you look at the cattle side and, well, it's never been better there. But like you said, there's going to be pressure there on corn and bean folks.
Yeah, it sure is. And we talked about input costs, things like that. And now with the possibilities that fertilizer might be going up because of potential tariffs, things like that, there's kind of an area now that we're not quite sure what's going to happen with some of these things. And I trust that the folks in Washington realize that the implications of the things that could happen, and hopefully they're used just as a negotiating tool, and they get the admissions from like Mexico or Canada and do those things without having to actually put tariffs on, which would really impact a lot of people and on both sides of the border. But it's a time when belt tightening, really looking at things and making the best you can do. And in some cases, it's a matter of what would lose the least amount of money in the coming year in terms of well, especially corn and soybeans. It looks like corn is going to be a more attractive crop to raise, and that'll, I would imagine, entail a lot more acres being planted and fewer soybean acres. So we'll see how that all shakes out and how that impacts prices down the road a ways.
You know, for folks that don't know, Paul, you're a farmer too. Has that impacted your plan for this coming year?
Well, it certainly has, and because of my workload here in the spring and in the fall as well, I like to plant soybeans because I can kind of handle that myself, especially harvest soybeans. It's not as much to haul, obviously, as compared to corn. But, now I'm thinking I'm maybe going to have to plant more corn again this year. And I'm hearing discussions that, again, at this meeting, a fella from the Marshall area, the people he works with say there's going to be a lot of corn on corn this year in Minnesota, southern Minnesota, which means a good indication of a lot more corn acres this year in Minnesota, and I would assume nationally as well.
State Representative Paul Anderson joining us. Paul, it seems like we can't go a day without some sort of news story regarding fraud in St. Paul. Is it more prevalent? Are those conversations as prevalent as we think down in St. Paul during the session?
Well, I think, Joe, what's happening is there's a greater awareness to this type of thing as well, or should be. Maybe back over the last few years, nobody really checked into these things. Nobody did a firm check to see if the money was going to the place it should be going. I saw last evening that there were surveillance cameras at some type of cafe that said they were feeding thousands of children's meals when, in fact, there were literally maybe 100 that actually walked into the restaurant and got a meal. So it's on the radar now, and it's really being looked at as well it should be, because the numbers that we're talking about are huge. Right now, I think confirmed, it's about $500 million in counting, money that has been allowed to be expended out in not the correct way, and hopefully some of that can be clawed back and to put back into the state coffers and then used for the right things. They all had good intentions, you know, feeding our kids, our future, and things like that. But we've heard also, you know, daycare situations and things like that. So just have to be aware of those and make sure that safeguards are put in place to make sure that this doesn't continue going on.
So when it comes to accountability, does that strictly fall on the governor, or are there many fingers to point here?
Well, these are part of his administration, the executive branch of government, like the Department of Education, for example, which had authority of overlooking the funding for the Feeding Our Future situation. That was in the Department of Education. Whatever happened that it wasn't followed up on, there were warning signs, and evidently they weren't really looked into as well as they maybe could have been. Of course, hindsight is 20/20. I'll grant you that. But and the other thing that I noticed, there didn't seem to be any repercussions, or nobody said, "Well, you didn't do your job. We're gonna have to let you go." I didn't hear of any of that going on down here. So it seemed like it was just, "Well, we'll do a better job next time, and nothing's going to happen this time." And of course, that wouldn't happen in private industry. If something like that happened, you may be shown the door and said, we'll see you. So we'll just see what happens in some of these things. Now, we have a committee that's organized here in the House, and the governor also says he's going to be looking into this a whole lot more, and hopefully some good things happen in terms of accountability in this area.
Another topic we've heard a lot about this session is legalizing sports betting. It seems like there's some folks that have a lot to gain if this would pass here in the state, Paul.
Yeah, I like sports, no doubt about that, like a lot of other people. And sports betting is, I suppose it can be kind of fun if you want to do that. But again, you got to be careful. And the proposals I've heard so far, I think there are three proposals so far before the legislature, and they would all involve actually betting over an electronic device like your phone. And some of the controls would be held by the tribes, who would kind of control this area of gambling as well. So that's what I've heard so far. And again, with the session being made shorter this year by the DFL not showing up for nearly a month, I'm not sure there's going to be time to get all of that done, but it is being talked about, especially in the Senate. There's a couple of bills being introduced, and we'll see where that all goes.
You know, Paul, right now I can go on to any kind of sports app and you know, bet on a game here or whatever it may be. I can do that already. So would this be more specifically in-state, like in-house at a casino or something, to make legal, Paul? Or?
Well, one of the proposals is to have it be only allowed at the casino itself. But I think what I've heard is the proposals are to have it be an electronic type of version. And, Joe, I'm not exactly sure. I haven't ever tried any of that. I was at a meeting earlier back in January before the Vikings played. I think it was Detroit, and didn't do so well on my prognostication with that, when they had a sports book at the racetrack where this conference was held. And I supported somebody down there. I didn't get anything back out of it. So people have to be careful and do what works for them. But so far, it's going to be the electronic version, and it'll be controlled somewhat by the state, and the state, of course, will get their share of a tax revenue from that. And the one good thing I would say that could come out of this, there's going to be some wealth sharing in the bills I've seen, where the two racetracks in Minnesota, the Running Aces one up in the northern part of the cities, and also Canterbury Downs down around the Shakopee area, they would receive some funding as well, to help kind of keep their racing going, keep the horses going, keep the purses up, to help keep those tracks competitive with all the things people can do with the money they can play with, we should say, in sports betting and such like that.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report brought to you by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service.